Welcome to Inspiring Voices, the podcast inspired by IBM's executive search and integration team, showcasing diverse and influential leaders and their impact in the world. Welcome back to a new episode of Inspiring Voices. Today is my pleasure to introduce Maurice Blackwood. Maurice brings over 20 years of sales leadership at IBM in areas such as cloud, systems, and ecosystems. He is currently the Vice President of America's Z Software. Welcome to Inspiring Voices, Maurice. We're super excited to have you here today.
Thanks, Christian. Absolute pleasure to be with you.
Maurice, as I mentioned earlier, you've been with IBM for over 20 years now. Can you describe for us a little bit about your journey here at IBM, your path to success, and what's kept you here?
Wow, my journey has been one of excitement and never-ending surprises. So I started on Wall Street back in 2000, and I had come out of school and started with another company and did a couple years there. And then a great opportunity came up as we were doing our Back to Wall Street campaign. That led me to grow up, if you will, in our systems business and moved into sales management. And then from there, I needed to get some route experience. So I went and ran the channel for a couple of years, specifically in a power brand, came back to run our systems business in the Northeast, and a fantastic opportunity came up. And I tell everyone, it's the biggest lie ever told. It was an opportunity where I was involved in a personal circumstance. My son had to have surgery. And I said, hey, I've got to go focus on this. And IBM was very supportive in allowing me to do that. But an opportunity came up and they said, Maurice, you should just interview for it. So I said, how many people are interviewing? And they're like 14. I'm like, absolutely, you'll never get the job. So let's just go get the experience. Well, it turns out that I got a call at 2 a.m. in the morning, one Monday morning, and they said, the job is yours. Do you want it? Well, the job just happened to be an international assignment in South Africa running one of their businesses. And I said, wait, I just told you I was taking care of my family and you told me, yes, go take care of your family. How could you give me this opportunity right now? And after much deliberation and prayer and consultation, we worked it out. And I think it was probably 2.5 months later, we were on the ground, moved over, new country, new assignment. And we happened to be there for 5 years. It was a fantastic opportunity. We, as a family, appreciated the experience. As a business leader, I got to lead in a different culture, a different climate, a different time. I started in one part of our business, systems, and then eventually ran our software business as well. And so, you know, those are the opportunities that I think answers your question, you know. Continued opportunities, continued business challenges, continued opportunities for us to grow and learn and develop are a few of the reasons, the important reasons why I'm still here.
My understanding is you also are currently the co-chair of the Black Executive Council within IBM. How would you describe the culture here in this role as a co-chair? What's that really meant to you?
Oh, it's a time of, I would say, two words come to mind, inspiration and aspiration. Over the last few years, being involved in one of 8 diverse constituencies here at IBM, I've just been inspired by IBM's enduring commitment to the individual. Who you are, you're valued. What you bring is valued. Your voice is valued. And so being a part of the Black Executive Council and then being asked to be one of the co-chairs, I felt inspired. I felt a sense of responsibility and commitment to ensuring that we continue to steward, you know, this next generation of leaders. And so for me, it's inspirational. We've done some fantastic things focused on areas that we're continuing to aspire to, right? So examples of increasing representation and making sure that we look like the country. Focused on starting new endeavors and looking at different parts of the Black population that we might not think of, right? Blacks in Brazil, as an example, Costa Rica, the UK, across the African continent, all of these expansion initiatives to ensure that the voice and the value continues to resonate. Now, we're not 100% there, right? It's an aspirational target. We keep going. We are stewarding for the next generation. And so we continue to work. We continue to bring new people on board. We continue to work with all of the constituencies within IBM in order to ensure that each voice is valued. And so that's been a great journey for me. It continues to be a journey. But more importantly, I use the word steward again, because all of us, regardless of what communities we belong to, we are stewards in ensuring that the next generation, we leave it better for them than it is today.
And, you know, and you touch on this in terms of just, you know, from a diversity perspective and, you know, our responsibilities, especially as stewards of it. But can you touch on a little bit about just the diversity landscape here within IBM? And, you know, is there anything that you would like to see or change, or, you know, and if so, what would that be? Or what would you at least like to see more of?
IBM, for me, is, I mentioned this, we have 8 diverse constituencies here, and I've been part of one in particular. I've served on the America's Diversity and Inclusion Council. It represents all 8. And I want to probably take a step back and talk about just the current landscape, right? So current landscape is focused on diversity and inclusion. And my personal philosophy is, you know, inclusion is absolutely important. But you get there when you start with valuing the diversity that exists. You know, personally speaking, I have a son who has dwarfism. So he's a part of the PWD community. And, you know, to watch him navigate what it means to be included, the value really starts when people accept him for who he is and then look at the meaningful contribution that that diversity brings to now be included in a community. I think that's the same at IBM. When we can look at an individual and value them, whether they are part of our neurodiverse community or whether they are part of our PWDA community or the Hispanic community or whatever the 8 constituencies are, when you think about the fact that each of those individuals have a distinct and unique voice that can make meaningful contributions and you believe it to your core, then you will begin to see the value that each person can bring. So at IBM, I believe that we are aspiring to do just that, right? Which is why we're involved in, you know, ensure that each community has a voice and each community is valued. So where are we right now? I think we are exactly where we should be. We should be continuing to make strides, continuing to ensure that we are providing opportunities and access, continuing to ensure that each individual, once they become an IBMer, once they become an IBMer, can be valued for what they bring and contribute to our clients in the world.
That's awesome. Yeah. And I think those are wonderful points. And I love hearing that. I guess if there was something, you know, even though you feel like we're exactly where we want to be, is there anything that you feel like we should start to approach or do differently, or would you like to see more of?
So, of course, I want to see representation increased, right, across the board. And that's not just for any one constituency. It's recognizing that across the U.S., across the world, we have so much voice that is not sitting at the table, right? And so the table can get bigger, right? It's not about replacing anyone. It's about how do we expand the seats and the voices that are heard at the table. And so we have to continue to create programs that are ensuring that voices are heard. When we think about even our early career hires, right, ensuring that they have an access. I was privileged to be a part of starting up a program here in the U.S. that may have started in Europe, actually, where we look at our earlier banded individuals, bring them into a cohort, introduce them to senior leaders, put them around projects, allow them to cross network. You know, when you hear what they experience coming out of that, you can't help but be energized because you have provided opportunities and access to individuals that they may not have heard, for them to build out their network, for them to dream bigger, right? Work harder, be more committed to the end game. And when that happens, people rise to the occasion. People say, I am willing to invest more, right? The quality of their work output improves. And so if there's anything that I would say that we should focus on, is ensuring that we're continuing to provide opportunities and access for individuals to be seen and heard so that they can take greater charge and make a greater commitment for their growth and development.
Now, in your career with IBM, how do you feel like IBM has really set you up for success as a senior leader?
Well, I think it starts with just some of the things that I just mentioned for our early career professionals. When we think about executives, right? Executives want to grow. You don't just get to a certain point and say, we're done. I think we get to a certain point and say, how can we challenge ourselves differently, right? There are these wonderful character-based skills that we've talked about around resilience and ensuring that, you know, people are gritty. I love Angela Duckworth's book, Grit. But what we need to ensure is all of these character skills, as I call them, come together, right? It's not only about making a number, but it's how you make a number. It's not only making the number, but who helped you and achieve it. So when we think about opportunities and how we are set up for success, it's ensuring that as leaders, we are identifying people who have the right character skills. We're providing opportunities for them to be developed and coached and mentored continuously. We're looking for opportunities for people to be challenged day in and day out, right? One podcast I listened to recently said, we need to live at the messy edge, right? You're right on the edge. You know it's the edge, but it's messy and you're trying to create. Leaders need to ensure that they're developing their people and people want to be developed at that messy edge. And so for me, IBM is always contributing to my success when they allow me to live on that messy edge. You know, there's a support system that's there, mentors, business leaders who are invested in you as an individual, not only your number, but you as an individual. And when we take those things together, the right support system, living on the messy edge, I think you now get this wonderful opportunity to see an individual flourish.
You bring up a good point. You touch on mentors, you know, coaches, menteeship. I've actually had the opportunity to be a mentor and a mentee, and I think it's such an important component to one's growth. And would love to just kind of hear, you know, is there any advice that you would give to anyone that's specifically seeking out, you know, either being a mentor, being a coach, being a mentee, or even seeking those leadership, you know, or growth opportunities?
So two things. I think there are mentors that are not alive today. They're called books. And I think one of the first thing that I would say as a leader, we want to do and we want to encourage are people who read. Read voraciously, read widely, because someone has something to say and probably have said it. You just need to find it in a book, right? I'm reading right now a book on the fear of people's opinions. I think it's called The First Rule of Mastery by Michael Gervais. And what he says is sometimes we look for others to affirm us, and that leads us to be so concerned about what they think, what they say, that it sometimes paralyzes us. So first thing that I would say is individuals need to take ownership and start to read and build on a foundation without necessarily firstly speaking with a human. That's number one. Number two, now you have a problem that you want solved. Now it's time for you to ask individuals, how can you help me with this problem? I don't feel like I am as sharp in front of the client around a technology. Can you mentor me in how to do that? I'm not sure I'm really good at navigating the IBM network. How and what steps can I take? What experiences should I be looking forward to? Who should I speak to? So you approach your mentor with a problem in mind. And you now have to ensure that that mentor is helping you with that problem. And so I think mentorship is important, but you've got to know what you are specifically focused on. It shouldn't just be a free-for-all for, you know, an unending amount of time. One of the things that I found really, really positive about our senior leaders here is if you have that problem in mind and you can identify it, they will help you figure it out, right? And they're not going to do it for you, because growth doesn't happen by someone doing it for you. Growth happens when you understand the problem, you're committed to solving it, and then going out and finding the resources to bring it together, and you own it. So here, I think being a mentor or getting a mentor requires you to have something that you want to solve. I think working with mentees, I think it should be time boxed. I think you should come in and say, what do you want to accomplish for the next 3 months? Let's work on it. And if we can successfully do that, and I continue as a mentor to find, hopefully deliver value, and you find value in the relationship, then we continue, but it should be time boxed. And so that's what I would say at the beginning, right? Now, there are lifetime mentors or and so forth. I had a discussion with one yesterday, and it was an hour and 48 minutes. And I thought, wow, I wasn't asking to be mentored for that long, but it evolved into a reverse mentor-mentee relationship because he had something that I needed and I had something that he needed. And so that's also, I think, the final thing that I would share is, you know, at some point, you may have gone in as the mentee, but you can walk out being the mentor. So also look for those opportunities in the relationship because that strengthens the bond as you move forward.
Absolutely. Yeah. And since we're kind of on this topic of mentors and mentees, who's been your inspiration? Who have you put sort of up on that box in terms of just inspiration for you?
Right. So I think, you know, I started off with books that are great mentors. I love John Maxwell. I love the simplicity of his writing, right? The 21 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership has been one that has stuck with me for a long time. I've met John yet, but my goal is to do that. But I think one of the persons that I look up to is actually in the faith-based community, where he is able to cross over just outside of faith and talk about how it impacts you as a business leader, how it impacts you as a community leader, how it impacts you as a parent, how it impacts you as a person who interacts with people. How can you become a decent human being every day, right? So those are individuals that I typically respect, if you will, or view inspirational, because that's core to who I am and in line with my value system. Now, I will say this. We don't always agree on every faith-based perspective. We don't always agree on every non-faith-based perspective. But when you align your values in terms of taking care of people, your family, your business responsibilities to a person who's able to speak to those things, that's really what inspires me.
And I don't know if you mentioned the person's name. I don't know if you want to share or not. Who was that?
Andre Olivier is one of the individuals. He leads a large church in South Africa. He actually said to me, we had a lunch meeting, and he said to me, Maurice, I'm going to challenge you to read one book a week. And I thought, okay. And it's where I got this voracious appetite for reading, right? You've probably heard some of the things that I've said, like reading with a problem in mind. That's one of those lessons that I'm like, when people ask me, Maurice, what are you reading? Well, what I'm reading may not necessarily resonate with you because my problem may not be your problem, right? He taught me, you know, read with a problem in mind and read widely. Read about technology. Read about, you know, I'm not a botanist, right? But read about that and then connect it to what you're experiencing. There is a bridge. You just have to look for it. So he is one that challenged me. That year, I think I read like 57 books. Now, my wife and I had a little bit of a problem because she was like, get out of that book. However, she valued the insight as we started dialoguing. The richness of the dialogue was phenomenal, right? And every book doesn't have to be, you know, like War and Peace. Some books are shorter, right? Some books are continuations or series. But if you read with something that you are interested in and you are passionate about, it exponentially increases your knowledge base as well as your impact on others because you're bringing that to the table.
Great advice. Yeah. Shifting gears here, you mentioned you were appointed to join a team who focuses on creating and executing the next stage of IBM's growth. Obviously, super interesting and very exciting. Could you share a little bit more about what that means, and especially for those leaders who are considering such challenges?
This was one of those opportunities where IBM extended to leaders, and I joined the acceleration team. And at first, I was a bit nervous, like, you know, what is this team? Some people had been on it for years. I'm the new guy. I walk into the room. I'm like, okay, I know him or her. And I'm greeting everyone. And I'm like, okay, what is this team about? What crystallized it for me was when we were assigned a project that looked at developing enablement and training around a specific product specifically for leaders, right? So you know they're not going to go and do 15 hours of training behind the scenes, but you want it to be meaningful in the delivery as well as ensuring that they could then go apply it in front of our clients. It allowed me to work with people in marketing, in legal, in sales, in the product offering group, and they brought consulting in. And it was an amazing opportunity to deliver these, you know, 2-minute podcasts where you're engaged, you're learning, and then you're asked to create an action in 2 minutes or less. And we challenged ourselves to deliver that. We challenged ourselves to deliver something that was unique. It was this unique offering. In any event, what being on a team like that does is it brings the broader IBM network into a smaller capsule of people with a focus on outcome. And it is at a senior enough level that you are able to impact change and experience and see it happen. And so building out networks across leaders allows you to exponentially create value at scale, at speed. And that's what being on the acceleration team did for me, as well as, you know, rounded out some networks with individuals that I don't work with each day.
Do you feel like this was, you know, one of those defining moments in your career that kind of puts you on this sort of a catalyst for your career journey, or was there something else?
I think there are a couple of punctuation points along the way for me or that did it. Certainly, I remember one former VP said, Maurice, you need to go get routes experience. And I'm like, I'm happy being in sales. I'm happy being a manager. And all of a sudden he rips that out and says, go do that. And someone's like, well, now you need to go get an international assignment. And I'm like, wait a minute, my son's in surgery. We can't do this. How can we move, you know, 15 and a half flight hours away with no one that we know? And you did that. And then you come back and it's like, oh, Maurice, you need to go run a different unit. Go do that. These experiences along the way, I think, provide me that opportunity or provided me the opportunity to live at the messy edge, where I think we sometimes miss. To be quite honest, developing leaders is when we don't challenge them to live at this messy edge. We're not using all of the character skills that they bring to the table. And so all of those points for me, those 3 points that I mentioned, moving into get routes experience in the channel, moving overseas, running a unit that was not necessarily my historical major, all together gave me a wonderful, rich set of experiences to compete for where I am today.
You kind of touch on this. You touched on this before, but in the midst of all of this, I mean, you sound like a pretty busy guy, but you know, you're still a dad and husband and son, and you know, you got to do a bunch of other things. Like within all of this, I mean, how do you ensure a good balance between healthy work life and is there even such a thing for you?
There has to be. You know, one of the things that I haven't publicized much. I don't know. I actually went back and got my doctorate, right?
Wow.
And that was an interesting time for our family. It took a while, but I think it starts with having a supportive partner. I give all credit to my wife. You know, she took care of the home, took care of the kids, attended meetings that I probably should have been a part of, but I had to make difficult choices that I just couldn't do it in that season. I think that's number one. Number two, I think each day we have to make decisions. We have to make decisions about what's important in our health and take care of it, important in our families and take care of that, important in the business and take care of that. But each day we need to map out almost like a daily discipline, a daily choice, keeping in mind what is important to keep me strong, right? There are days where I am on the road. I could be on the road 6 days, right? Leave on Sunday, come home on Friday. They're just those weeks. And you know that on those trips, you've got to eat well. You've got to exercise, right? You've got to connect with your family because all day, you know, you're being drained, if you will. But there are also times where you have to make that decision to support your kid at the play. Now, I remember one week. My son this year was a lead in the play. And I said, okay, I'll be there on opening night and I'll be there on closing night. Well, you know, in a family, that wasn't going to work. My wife was like, you will be there every night and you will be present. So they're just these, it's always a choice, but make sure it's what's important to keep you grounded and you whole so that you can deliver every day, right? I asked my team recently, you know, how do I show up? How do I show up? And I was looking for one particular word. And, you know, they gave me words like hopeful and energetic and passionate. And I was looking for the word optimistic, right? Because at the end of the day, I want to be deliberate that we can do the impossible. We can grow again. We can grow when everyone around us says, no, well, you did it, right? We want to be people who are optimistic, forward-looking, and keep going. Now, of course, things get difficult, right? That's just life. But if you start out on a negative footing, you got one hand tied behind your back. So I choose each and every day, just like I choose with spending time with my kids and doing the college tours and with our clients, right? We make choices every day to make sure that we are whole beings and we can show up each and every day ready to deliver.
Great advice. And I think this brings us to our last question of today, which, you know, I think a lot of this advice that you've shared with us is probably stuff that you probably would have given your 21-year-old self, but I'm not going to speak for you. So what advice, what have you given yourself at 21?
So this question is a bit perplexing for me because I remember my 21st birthday. I remember what I did that night. And I remember that I had a PChem test the next morning.
Ouch.
Oh, yeah. Ouch is right. As a chemical engineer, it was a bit rough for the exam, but thank God for grace, right? And a good curve. What advice would I give my 21-year-old self? Work hard. Stay balanced. Don't give up. Work hard. New opportunities are going to arrive every day, but you got to be willing to put the time in. You know, my 21-year-old self did not have a master's or did not have that in mind. My 21-year-old self may have had a doctorate in mind, but didn't have a plan to get there. It came with just deliberate working hard every day and grinding. The second piece is stay balanced. Don't fly too high when you do well. And don't fall too low when you don't. Life has a funny way of balancing everything out if you are just patient with the process. So stay balanced. You know, one of our sons runs track. And it's amazing that usually the person at the front of the first lap of a mile run or a 1600 run, for those of you who are outside of the United States, 600 meter run, is seldom the person that wins. You have to be patient and you have to seize the opportunity when it comes, right? And so it's important for me to say to my 21-year-old self, stay balanced. Life is a marathon. It is certainly not a sprint. Be patient. And the last is, have some fun. I love to laugh. In fact, when I'm on with the team and my boss is on some of our cadence calls, and I like to have fun. I'm smiling. I'm engaged. I take things one day at a time. Now, there are bad days, yes. But for 90% of the time, I want to have a smile. I want to be the person that people are like, uh-oh, here he comes. The nutty, crazy Maurice, what is he going to say or do now, right? I'm just that guy. And I think bringing that authentic self to work is an important part of why IBM is such a great company to work for. You've got to be yourself. You got to have fun. And when you can do all three of those things, work hard, stay balanced, and put some fun into it, I think you'll go far. So that's my advice to my 21-year-old self.
Great advice. And as always, it's such an honor to talk to you, Maurice. And, you know, I love the energy. I love just your leadership. And I think it's very infectious to all of us. And so thank you for taking the time to chat with us today on Inspiring Voices. Thank you for listening to Inspiring Voices. If you're a senior leader who is interested in learning more about our inclusive culture and leadership at IBM, please reach out to us via email at ibmexecsearch@ibm.com. That email again is ibmexecsearch@ibm.com. We can't wait to hear from you.